Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
So before I teach you anything today, I want to unteach you something. Is that okay? Can I unteach you something? Because I believe that there are untruths that we have subscribed to that are completely contra scripture and contra gospel. They are a complete lie. And I want to go ahead and unteach those to you. Here's one of them. See, I believe that people in this room believe that God is closest to us in proximity when we receive his blessing, right? When we're taking part of his glory and it's awesome and that splendor and it feels good. That's when God is closest to us. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, by the contrast of that, if things are going badly, if you're in a fire in your life, then God must be distant from you. He must be away from you. He must have deserted you. Y'all, that is false teaching and completely untrue. In fact, the Bible says that God is near and dear to those who are brokenhearted. It's quite the opposite. You cannot have God's glory without God's trials. Prosperity does not equal proximity. If you're taking notes today, write that down. Prosperity does not equal proximity. Prosperity does not equal proximity. In fact, suffering and glory have a more intimate relationship than what you think. Read with me, open up to Romans 8:15. We're going to read to verse 17. I'm going to be in the NLT for the duration of this message. Romans 8:15. It says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves." By the way, if you run away from trials in your life, if you run away from them, if you're afraid of them, you become a slave to them. It says you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. Together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory, and we love that. That preaches good. I'm an heir of the glory, the splendor, the blessings. We love that part. It sounds good. It feels good. But this next part doesn't. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. If we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. You cannot have God's glory without God's suffering. Why is this important? Why am I telling you this? Because if your life looks like anxiety right now, if you're going through a season of depression, if after COVID you thought the loneliness would go away, but now it's back and it's even stronger, if your financial situation looks bleak because of inflation and you don't know how you're going to make rent, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is still chasing after you as hard as he was when things were going well. Prosperity does not equal proximity. The title of my message today is Firewalker. And by the Holy Spirit and his divinely inspired word, I'm going to teach you how to walk on fire today. Somebody say, I'm a firewalker. So you might be asking, if we are God's heirs, right? If we share in what Jesus has, if we're his heirs, why would he make us go through a fire? Well, there are three reasons that I want to highlight today. Why would God make me go through a fire? Number one is that the fire disciplines. Somebody say the fire disciplines. Hebrews 12:6, read with me. Hebrews 12:6. It says, for the Lord disciplines, somebody say disciplines, those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who has never been disciplined by his father? I have. Bad ones. Just kidding. There's no bad kids in youth, but bad kids. But the fire can discipline. See, sometimes we go through fires in our lives and we're like, oh, woe is me. Why would you do this to me, God? This is the worst. Why is this all happening to me? Why did I get fired from my job? This is terrible. But dare I say, maybe you got fired from your job because you're lazy and you don't show up on time. See, maybe what God is trying to do is he's bringing you through a fire because where he's taking you, he cannot have you be lazy, not be on time. He needs you to be an obedient disciple. So he's breaking that of you right now so that you can walk into what he has for you. He is trying to discipline you. The fire can create discipline. The second reason why you might find yourself in a fire is because the fire purifies. Somebody say, the fire purifies. The fire purifies. Have you guys ever seen like raw gold before? Like gold in its ore, like before it's like fully mined. Do we have that picture? That's what it looks like. It's pretty gross. Like if you gave this to your wife as a gift, like I don't know your wife, but she's probably gonna kick you out of the house. Like she's gonna be like, what is that? That's pretty nasty looking. But nobody wants that raw gold, right? Nobody wants that gold ore. It's not shiny. It doesn't look good. Nobody wants that until they find out that piece is worth about $50,000. But see, when you apply heat to that raw gold ore, when you apply heat to it, the gold becomes malleable. And as it begins to liquefy, its impurities raise up to its surface and are slowly burnt off by the heat. And that's when you get the nice necklaces and gold rings that you see today that we covet. First Peter puts it like this. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, somebody say many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Listen, the purer the gold, the brighter it reflects light. In the same way, the purer you are, the more accurately you can reflect who Jesus Christ is to the world. You aren't in a fire because God is distant or he's abandoned you. No, God is trying to mold you and shape you into a more accurate depiction of who he is so you can show the world who Jesus Christ is. You haven't lost his favor. You're just being purified. The third reason you might find yourself in a fire is that the fire unbinds you. Somebody say, it unbinds me. The fire unbinds you. So I want to unpack this a little bit more in Daniel 3:19. And you might be familiar with the story. But I'm just going to give you a little quick recap. So in Daniel 3:19, we see a king. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. And he has besieged Judah. It's the southern region of Israel, the southern kingdom of Israel. He's besieged Judah, and he has erected a 90-foot statue, and he has commanded everyone in the region to bow down at the sound of music and worship the statue. You guys might know the story. Everybody did that, except for three guys. What were their names? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The story picks up in 3:19. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter, somebody say 7 times hotter, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound, somebody say bound, and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shad, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, firmly tied, somebody say firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men we threw into the fire? This is my favorite part. They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire unbound. Somebody declare unbound. And unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. Jesus was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Jesus is in your fire. See, Jesus loves and accepts you just as you are at the moment of salvation. just as you are. With all your sin, all your addiction, all your shame, all of that, he accepts you just as you are at the point of salvation, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. See, it says that the men were bound tightly, but when they walked out of the fire, they were unbound. Why? Because the fires that God brings you through won't kill you, but they'll kill the things that bind you. Am I preaching to anybody today? They'll kill the things that bind you. That pornography addiction, that sly tongue that cusses and gets you in trouble, maybe what God is trying to do is humble you in the season so that you can turn to him and leave those things behind so you can step into the promise that he has for you. Maybe he wants you to leave them behind. Maybe he's trying to purify you. Maybe he's trying to unbind you. So we know why we walk through fires. But how do we do it, MJ? Teach me how to walk on fire. Well, hold on. Before we get there, we have to understand that the approach matters. The way that you approach adversity in your life matters, right? Because there are people that are watching you approach that fire, and they're gonna make a decision based on how you approach it. In other words, your demeanor forces a decision. Somebody say your demeanor forces a decision. Let me make this make sense. 1 Peter 4:12. It says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you." Don't be surprised. Don't be all, "What was me?" Don't be surprised. In fact, it says, "Be glad." In fact, it says, "Be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering." There's that suffering again. "So that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to the world." Don't be alarmed when you face adversity, especially because of your faith. Be glad. See, I can almost guarantee you, if you are a believer, and not just somebody that comes to church and checks a box, you know, a believer truly sold out for Jesus Christ. By the way, that is the only way to be a believer of Jesus Christ, is to be sold out for him. But I can almost guarantee if you are sold out for Jesus, you probably aren't the most popular person in your workplace. At least your opinions aren't. Or in your school or your university. I can almost guarantee that your opinions, your worldview is not the most popular. And as a result, you will be tempted to sacrifice your Christian values in order to fit in order to position yourself for that promotion, or maybe college students to get a good grade on your paper. You'll be tempted to sacrifice your values to fit in. See, but when they judge you for being pro-life, when they say, "Hey, I don't think you're a good fit for management because your beliefs are a little antiquated," the Bible says, "Be glad." And can I just slide this in real quick, because this just really bothers me. So the world likes to say that the opposite of pro-life is pro-choice. That doesn't make any sense in any language. The opposite of life is death. Therefore, the opposite of pro-life is pro-death. And so long as I have breath, I will stick up for the life of the unborn, because any right that you have starts with the right to life. And just like Pastor T said, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you had an abortion, repent, turn to God. There's no condemnation here. But if they judge you for your beliefs, be glad. If you face adversity because of what you believe, be happy. Now do it with a posture of respect. Don't go around like slamming doors like, "Oh yeah, I didn't get the promotion. Psh, thanks." Like, don't do like that kind of, like, be respectful. But don't be afraid to be different. Why? Because your demeanor forces a decision. They will either say, "This person is completely out of their mind and crazy," or they will be moved by your boldness and say, "There's something to what this person believes, and I want to know more about their God." So now we've come up to the fire. We've approached it. So how do we walk through it? It's pretty simple. You have to praise through the pain. You have to praise through the fire. The Bible says that Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Do you guys know what Judah means? Judah means praise. So that literally translates to Jesus is the Lion of praises. Somebody say, "Unlock the lion." Oh, I'm about to go off on you, church. Listen, I'm going to unpack this a little bit more in 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles, we see Judah again is under attack by three mighty armies, and they are outnumbered and completely surrounded. There's nowhere to go, and the people are freaking out. Until God tells them that they don't have to fight the battle. He says that the battle belongs to me. Here's what happened. 2 Chronicles 20, 21. 2 Chronicles 20, 21. It says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Somebody say singers. They appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Not the strongest warriors, not the best swordsmen, not the guys that were good at, you know, shooting arrows. No, singers. Guys with skinny jeans and moisturized skin, hair gel. Singers. I'm just kidding. Kind of. He appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. They sang, give thanks to the Lord. That's crazy. They're heading to a slaughter, but they gave thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. When they praised, in other words, the enemy began to fight themselves. See, the devil wants to arrest your praises in the middle of the trial. Why? Because nothing confuses the enemy like our praises. See, the devil wants to lock your praises. He wants to arrest them in the trial. But when you unlock your praise in the middle of the fire, in the middle of the trial, you unlock the Lion of Praises. You unlock the Lion of Judah. I don't know about y'all, but I've seen Discovery Channel. I ain't never seen a lion lose a battle. When you lift your praise in the midst of a fire, it doesn't matter if it's walking on water like Peter did. It doesn't matter if it's walking on fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It doesn't matter if it's walking on addiction. It doesn't matter if it was walking on your addiction to pornography. It doesn't matter if it's walking on your addiction to alcohol. It doesn't matter what you're walking on. Why? Because the enemy is a footstool for your Jesus. And if you would just praise him in the middle of a storm, you will unlock the Lion of Praises and confuse the enemy. Bible says that the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. So the same spirit that walked on fire lives in you. You too are a firewalker. Somebody say, I'm a firewalker. And guys, I'm just going to have a heart-to-heart with you for a second. I just want to talk to the guys right now. This one's going to sting a little bit. Look at your neighbor, tell them, brace yourself. Listen. I am tired of seeing the woman in the church, and it's not just here, it's everywhere. The woman in the church raising their hands, praising Jesus on their hands and knees, asking for a victory, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, while the guys in the church are just like. Trying to figure out when Cracker Barrel opens. Listen, I love Cracker Barrel too, but men, you are designed to be the spiritual leaders of your household. You need to reassume your place and start leading your families. How do you do it? Just like this. You teach your family, you teach your kids to praise Jesus in the middle of the storm. If you're going through a difficult situation, teach them to pray. You have to be the spiritual leader. I can't be the spiritual leader of your family. Pastor T cannot be the spiritual leader of your family. It's up to you. Take your place. Listen, I can promise you this. If you can teach your kids to praise in the midst of a trial or a storm, if you can teach them to pray to Jesus in the middle of the fire, when they grow up, they will be unstoppable. I can guarantee you that. So we've gone to the fire. We've gone through the fire. And now we're done, right? Well, there's actually one more step. See, after you've come out of the fire, the next thing you must do is go back in it. He said, MJ, make it make sense. Let me help you out. 1 Corinthians 1:3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Who comforts, somebody say, who comforts us in all of our troubles? so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Church, you are comforted to be a comforter. Somebody say, I'm comforted to be a comforter. See, when you walk through a fire, your next job is to go back in it. And listen, I'm not saying if you're an alcoholic and you struggle with that, to go back to the bar and start ministering to people. Don't do that. It's not a safe place for you. Don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that when you walk through a fire, go back and minister to those that are going through the same exact thing that you went through. Go back and tell them about how Jesus reached down into the fire, into the muck, into the mire, and pulled you out. Go be Jesus to them. After the fire, go back in it. Praise with them when they don't know how to praise. Pray for them when they don't have the strength to pray. Go be with them. Lift them out of the fire. A couple weeks ago at Vision Youth, we had a glow night. And what we did is we rented out the entire Stratford Richardson YMCA, the whole building. And we had a glow pool. We had a glow-in-the-dark dodgeball, glow basketball, anything, you name it, with glow in front of it. That's what we did. It was awesome. It was so epic. We had over 100 people there. And during the service, 17 precious souls gave their life to Jesus. Come on, church. You know what I said to those kids? Do you want to know what I said? It was nothing profound. I don't have anything profound to say. I told them about how when I was walking through fires, Jesus Christ lifted me out of them. He rescued me, though I was a sinner. He was rich in mercy and lifted me out of the muck and the mire, and he can do the same thing for you. That's all I said. Nothing profound. See, but Jesus did it for me. Jesus did it for those 17 kids, and Jesus can do it for you as well. See, all scripture is like a compass. All scripture is a compass. The Old Testament points forward to the person of Jesus Christ and the cross. The New Testament points backwards to what he did on the cross. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is just a metaphor for the cross. It really is. Right? The Bible says that Satan is the lowercase god of this earth. He influences everything, politically, music, culture. He influences everything. And if you follow the world, despite your best intentions, it will drag you into a fiery pit called hell. And Jesus Christ is the only person that can save you from that hell. It's a metaphor. And people say, I don't like this kind of preaching. It's hate speech. It's fire and brimstone. No, it's not. I'm trying to save you from the fire. It's not hate speech. It's the most loving thing that I can tell you. I hear this all the time from young people. They say, MJ, I met this guy. And I'm just like, oh boy, it's the worst sentence you could ever hear. I'm like, okay. And he took me out to a movie. He opened the door for me. He got me flowers. It was the nicest thing a guy has ever done for me. I'm like, yo, hold up. I got to stop you right there. Church, the nicest thing a guy has ever done for you is not buy you flowers or do any of that stuff. The nicest thing a guy has ever done for you is climb up on a rugged cross and bleed out for your sins. Don't get it twisted. May you never forget it. It's not hate speech. It's the most loving thing that I could ever tell you. Why? Why did he do it? Because Christ was so rich in mercy that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. While we were the aggressor, we were the enemy. It was our fault that we were in the fire in the first place. He reached down, he lowered himself, met us where we were, and saved us. And listen, I want you to heed what I'm about to say. If you're not 100,000% sure that if Jesus Christ Or if you were to die today, that your very next breath would be in heaven, if you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you're not 100,000% sure, I pray, I implore you to pray this next prayer. Because I feel like there are a lot of people in this room, maybe not a lot, maybe just a couple, who have just been checking off the boxes, haven't really given their life to Jesus, who are not sold out for him. If that's you today, I want you to pray this prayer. Everyone can just bow their head and close their eyes. And if you are a believer today, I want you to just take a minute right now to just intercede for those who are praying this prayer and meeting Jesus for the very first time. I want you to just take a minute to just do that. I want you to pray this prayer in your heart. Pray this. Heavenly Father, I know today, God, that I am a sinner. I know that I'm in a fire, God, and you are the only way out of it. God, I repent of my sin, God. I believe that you died on a rugged cross and took my place. And rose again 3 days later, proclaiming victory over death and the grave. Jesus, today I ask that you save me. I call upon the name of Jesus, God. Save me, God. And in exchange, I will spend my life following you.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.